Okay, I mentioned elements. This is Colin Power from Into Infinity. Elements and computing, the elemental table. Obviously, silicon, a very important number in computing and all of that stuff. I did mention something about elements. I sparked someone's interest. Okay, I'm not going to go too much into the elements right now, but I'm going to give a few hinters right now. So we gave the solution to pi. Do you remember? It was 25 and a third, or we should say a quarter and a third. Yeah, and it's the compilation of those two types of plane, the hexagonal plane, the square plane, that creates the pi function. Yeah. And so when we get the inversion of that with the infinite mathematics, you could say it's a third. Yeah. So 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 3, and then what we have is the inverse function of that number, which is a quarter, yeah, is 0.25, so 0.75, isn't it? Yeah, if we swap that around, what happens is we get 3 3 3 3 3 3 3 into infinity. That would be one set in the infinite, and then the 25, because we look at the other half of the quarter, turns into 75, right? And so what you get now is let's say the number's 3 3 7 5. Okay, got that? So that's 3 3 3 3 3 goes on into infinity. In that case, we're just going to do 3 3 7 5. That's all we need for now, just to know that it's 3 3 stands for the infinity of a third, and 75 stands for the inverse of a quarter, if you like, yeah, which is makes up a whole. I'm going to put those numbers next to each other. The decimal point's at 3 3 3, remember? And what we're going to do is now we're going to move the decimal point back, yeah? Back one, so we get 3 3 7.75, yeah? Okay, so, back one, so we get 3.375, like that, yeah? And what we find is that number can be times by 4 now, yeah? So we can get the whole from the 75, yeah? And all of that. And when we do, we get something called the square root of 54. Now, the square root of 54... we find the square root of 3375, and it's times that by 4. Yeah, so we've gone square root first. Yeah, so then we get the square root of 54. And then atom 54, if you think about it, is a particular atom that has it's a noble gas. Xenon, yeah, and with that noble gas, it's really where, as far as atomic geometry says, is the outer shell of the atom, because other atoms after that get compiled within inside the atom. You know, higher atoms don't get compiled outside, with the exception of a pair of S orbital shells, which just help for the bonding function of the atom. But apart from that shell, which is element 56, after that, you get your F orbitals kicking in, and those are the ones we use for the colour function in our mobile phone screens and all of that stuff, Anyway, that's just a little bit about atoms. But 54 is a quite important number. But for those who are really astute and have been reading stuff on geo-quantum mechanics and the functions of the relationship for... we've got our geo-gravitational theory, yeah? Geo-quantum gravity. And what we can see is that what we have there is something within dimension of science that says there's a relationship between the proton and the neutron. So technically speaking, you can glue, let's say we take the mass of an electron and we pull it back into the proton. What we find is there's still a discrepancy between that and a neutron. And you say, well, what's the difference in the discrepancy? Well, it turns out to be the square root of 54 divided by 4. Ah, which is exactly this, isn't it? It's the square root, yeah, of 3.375. Yeah, that's what it is, yeah? So that's called the discrepancy number. And what we're saying is there's a pi function here. This could be all coincidence, but it doesn't matter, because 54 obviously is a number of 9. Yeah, so it's a very important number. We've just moved when we went into the infinite space from the fourth dimensional mathematics, we just moved the decimal point across from 3.375 and got 3.75. We moved time space across, and then all of a sudden we see it's an infinite of 3. Yeah, which is a third, and we've got an extra quarter that's not being accounted for. And for those people who want to get really into all of that stuff, you can start to translate that into the relationship at different elemental levels, yeah? And also it explains why light waves tend to sort of move in a quarter of the spherical space, expand into that quarter, and disappear out of that quarter of that sphere, and then reappear in the opposite quarter and expand to maximum and then disappear as they traverse through space. space or grow in size. It's very bizarre, isn't it? Like the sphere that grows and it just grows into one quarter of a sphere, and that's the wave we're seeing, and then it collapses down to zero again, and then the sphere opens up again, and this time it's going in exactly the opposite half of the sphere, you know, opposite there. And that's what's happening, isn't it? Every time we see it, it's the left-hand rule, or whatever, right-hand rule, yeah? So you can start to compile all of that together, and you can start to see how atoms work from a geochemical perspective and from a geoelectrical mechanical perspective, because once we talk about mechanics of that level, we can start to translate that into our computer chip systems in the systems I've been talking about. And you know, you're going to find some surprising new ways in which we can utilize the elements when we do, but you just need to do a little bit of calculation on some of that. So you're going to need to know a little bit about dimensionless science. You can do it in standard calculation. Dimensionless science makes it a little bit easier because it decodes all science into just pure ratio, so it just makes it a lot easier for calculations, we think. But you can do it with standard science if you want, and you know, try and push things around a little bit. You'll probably find that the square root of 54 is slightly out at that point, so you have to compensate. That's due to the fact of the speed of light not being 3. But anyway, once it all goes into ratio, it all falls a lot easier. We've also got another system, which is our quantum gravity solution, which translates all of that sciencey stuff. We re-engineered the constants because from the ratios, and we came up with 9 constants in 9 normal numbers. And so what we can do then is we can really start to do the math using you know, quantum computing then on our geo quantum gravity solution. Okay, so that's why we're excited. We hope that people are as excited as we are about the potential of fourth dimensional mathematics and its capacity to decode atoms and all that sort of stuff. We think we've outlined now pretty much enough for you guys to be getting on with and looking out for that sort of, you know, you can start to decode some of the stuff we're saying. And we'll try and put some more stuff out on dimensionless science in the near future, so you can understand exactly how all of that works and the quantum gravity solution. But that's it for now. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to find out more, stay up tuned and up to date at intoinfinity.com, where we'll be producing more information as we progress through this year. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.